Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for January 23rd, 2016. And it's my cosmic pleasure to be interviewing the author of the Indigo Journals, Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls. Yul Swan is the author of Indigo Journals, and she brings an amazing life story to this journal of soul liberation and growth with an understanding of soul typology that leads to soul balance and health. If you have a strong feminine sensibilities that are intuitive, empathic, and creative, and yet have balanced masculine strengths of disciplined purpose, you are likely an indigo yourself and will probably love this book. Yul Swan is a spiritual counselor, mentor, and coach who has taken the understanding of the soul and the wounded feminine to new cosmic depths. She's a modern seer who perceives life as energy and is sensitive to other dimensions. And she began channeling spiritual messages in her teenage journals and later developed a practical system of spiritual healing and energy management through more than 30 years of exploring the mind, guided by her intuitive gifts, mystical experiences, and enlightened teachers from both Buddhist and Hindu traditions. Once Yul realized she was an indigo adult expressing the wounded feminine of the planet, she noticed that some of her clients were also indigos, while most displayed many but not all of the indigo features. And while identifying the spiritual wounds and codependent patterns that all had in common, she discovered a feminine-masculine soul spectrum that explains essential differences between the many soul types inhabiting the Earth today. Yul shares her journey and profound insights in the Indigo Journals, where she presents an in-depth view of the wounded feminine and the indigo archetype, as well as her spiritual healing system to help feminine souls and anyone willing to explore their feminine side, unlock their hidden power, discover their purpose, and balance an overly masculine world to bring in a new cosmic cycle of light. Thank you, Yul Swan, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Thank you, Christopher, for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
Well, I'm really enthralled with your book. There's so much in it that just really fascinates me. I would like to think I'm an indigo, but you know, I've got momentums in that regard. I did Cosmic Love Show starting about 8 years ago to balance out my feminine side.
Yeah.
Most of us have heard of indigo children, but you claim that indigos come in all ages and personalities. So can anyone be an indigo?
Yes, actually, it took me quite a while to realize that I was one. And then I started seeing them, both those who are alive and those who are dead, you know, like through their work, their perception of life. And one of the purposes of the book is to share my experience and an in-depth view of the indigo archetype so that other indigos can recognize themselves and find tools to feel more grounded, more connected, you know, like find their place and purpose in the world.
So most indigo adults are unaware of being indigo?
Yes, unfortunately, younger generations tend to be more aware. But because we all have this idea that about indigo children, that, you know, they were from a certain generation, those of us who've been here before then, you know, don't think that way. Like, I remember when my daughter was born, someone handed me that book about indigo children, the indigo children, the new kids have arrived. And I just read through it, you know, skimmed through it and said, well, these kids are not special. They're just like me. And so I kind of dismissed the idea because I didn't make the connection, you know, I didn't connect the dots back then. And it took me quite a while. And I think it's because we kind of have a hard time seeing ourselves as souls, You know, we think that, well, there's only one soul and that's it. And we're just either more evolved or less evolved. But in the process of recognizing my own wounds and, you know, the 30 years of self-exploration and spiritual, you know, teachings, learning on the spiritual path, I realized, like you mentioned, that there is a soul typology which, you know, creates this polarized world we live in.
Well, I'm really interested in this soul typology thing. Over the years in Cosmic Love, I've talked about light language and the full spectrum of consciousness. And of course, indigo is kind of a combination of the blue and the pink. And blue is more masculine. Of course, pink is feminine. You know, we dress up the babies, and the boys get blue, and the girls get pink. You know? Mm-hmm. And cultural conditioning for our generation was not a real strong on culturing consciousness of how we're conscious.
Yes.
And so as I got into your book, I was really intrigued with this understanding of this feminine-masculine soul spectrum that you go into and the significant features of indigo souls and where they fit into that spectrum. Could you describe that a little bit?
Sure. Well, the you know, a feminine soul is a soul, a spark of consciousness that is going to have the wiring, the subtle tendency to go towards the receptive, more feminine, more sensitive, more empathic quality. And the masculine soul is going to go towards more active, more logical type of quality. So indigos kind of fall towards the middle of that spectrum because we are feminine souls with masculine quality. And so we are receptive and intuitive and empathic, creative. You know, I call us the creative, empathic, sensitive visionaries who feel like the ugly duckling in the world. Because we feel out of place. You know, the world has become so excessively masculine and compartmentalized and militarized that we feel like, well, what is this? This has nothing to do with my inner vision. You know, what am I doing here? Those are their main features. You know, they're highly sensitive, emotionally and otherwise, you know, to chemicals, to certain foods, to certain vibrations. They're receptive and intuitive. Because I'm one of them, right? We have no non-cognitive perception. Our perception of the world is very different. It's like a non-linear, spherical type of thinking. So we see many aspects of one thing at the same time. We want a deeper understanding. We're bound to the truth. We're highly creative. We need a creative outlet. That's like an urgent need. We are deeply connected to nature, to animals. We suffer for them. We suffer for the planet. And so that makes us feel like a stranger in a strange land, you know, like feeling like we never belong, like we're looking for our home, like we want to understand what we're doing in this world that doesn't make sense to us. And also, we have a very strong sense of purpose, and we're driven by that search, you know, searching for a purpose. Without a purpose, an indigo is miserable, it's depressed, it's, you know, filled with anxiety and all sorts of ailments.
The sense of discipline and purpose and more of a masculine, assertive trait. And
the sensitive
feminine is more of a receptive, creative, empathic, non-linear. When I think of linear and non-linear in terms of, you know, masculine, feminine, or the left brain, mm-hmm. linear, logical, you know, letter of the law of of the patriarchal masculine world and then the nonlinear spherical spiritual spirit of the law, which is more the feminine sensitivities, which are desensitized largely by the patriarchal world that we live in. And of course, yeah. I'd like to think that in the Aquarian dispensation is evolving towards more of a balance of that masculine and feminine, and that this is actually one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show. I think that we're kind of at a turning point. Like it's like we've got a point of the world, you know, we're like a point of either we come into balance or we're going to spiral out of control, kind of a thing.
Yes. It's reached the extreme of masculinity.
And I see a lot of what you're saying in the book about the feminine souls and indigos, you know, how they feel out of place and they suffer a lot of emotional issues like depression and anxiety because of the, well, I guess it's the tension or the density of this world that is really... I mean, it's just what's being done to the world, the environment, the nature. I mean, it is depressing.
Yes, it is indeed.
And, I mean, there's a lot of real men, so to speak, that doesn't bother them at all. But they're not. I mean, that's been the conditioning when I grew up, you know, like men don't cry, you know, men, suck it up and hold it in and mm-hmm. push through and that's changing. Well, it's got to change, and it is changing largely, I think, because to tell you the truth, I think there's a new social conscience emerging on the internet where that is very quickly maturing globally, that the sensitivity, what you refer to in the book as a sense of otherness. That is an aspect of an ego that that you mentioned keeps us emotionally in the past. So what is that, and how can we transform driving into the future with our eyes glued to the rearview mirror? And, you know, how can we move forward with more of a sense of a connection and sensitivity?
Well, the sense of otherness is one aspect of the ego. It's actually the masculine aspect of ego. The feminine aspect would be the sense of self, which is what gives us the sense of individuality, of being individual souls and separate. And the sense of otherness is this other aspect that we integrate, we acquire through the interaction with authority figures and, you know, those who have power over us when we're children. And I coined the term sense of otherness because it's really a sense. It's not like a voice or internalized figures that you recognize. It's just a sense that's who you are, and you don't even know why. But when you interact with others, something kicks in and starts sabotaging your plans, your goals, your desires. And it's because the world has become so dysfunctional that what we internalize as that sense of otherness, instead of being a supportive system like it should, right, it becomes an inner bully. It becomes the aspect of ego that keeps us in the past always feeling like little kids, disempowered, unheard, unseen, with no control, no voice, and so on. And so the process of healing, you know, spiritually and growing personally or professionally in any way, is that the process of stretching beyond that and transforming that sense of otherness through self-love, through self-discipline, through recognizing our wounded patterns and creating new patterns of new habits of perception of thoughts that lead us in a different direction. You know, that process of self-awareness, looking within and seeing what's wrong, what hurts, healing that, through our own love, breaking free from codependent patterns that defensive otherness tends to maintain, and everything outside in the world also tends to support and promote, then we become one in ourselves, which is basically the indigo archetype. It's the that sense of independence, autonomy, clarity about who we are, what we want, and what we're here to do, which is to protect this planet, to take care of life, to promote love and abundance, and care for life, as opposed to what we see in the world now, which has become so extremely masculine that has no regard for life. You know, like we become lab rats in this world.
So, so I understand this, and then the sense of otherness, as you're referring to it, is how others see us. That's conditioned, conditions the ego to where we're reactive to our a self-image of that the ego has of you know the way we are, you know, from the past, which is, isn't necessarily true. Whereas the sense of the feeling about oneself, or the sense of oneself as independent or liberated or free, you know, I refer to soul soaring, you know, the concept of soul soaring as being free from, you know, the sense of limitations that have been imposed on us, you know, from others. But that's kind of another sense of, you know, it's a sense of union or a sense of with our higher self or with, you know, with the soul, there's kind of a liberation from the ego in that sense.
Well, the sense of otherness and the sense of self create the ego, you know, create that sense of individuality. But that sense of self, you know, that feminine aspect that is more internal, leads to the connection to our inner voice and our true self, you know, our higher self. The sense of otherness is what kicks in when we're interacting with the world, with others.
Yeah.
And so when we're alone, it seems that we're a different person than when we are out in the world, because there's this self-image that we have to protect, maintain, even if we're not aware of it. You know, we're unconsciously behaving and following certain rules that a lot of times don't even make us happy. And that's the sense of otherness that has become this overpowering inner bully, you know, squelching that sense of self that is our true voice, our true self. But of course, to get to that higher self, we need to transcend the ego altogether. And the way to transcend that, you know, according to my book and my philosophy, is by integrating the feminine and masculine, you know, from within and without, so that we can be in the world but not of the world, and, you know, integrate all the aspects of the soul, align them so that we can be true to ourselves, have clarity of purpose, clarity of who we are, acceptance of who we are and the things that we, you know, regret and the things that we've messed up and all the past, you know, healing that past and looking towards the future, that we also create, because, you know, our lives is our own personal movie that we create by channeling that immense creative energy, creative power that we possess. And that's one of the things that indigos tend to be unaware of, but, you know, and feminine souls in general, because the feminine is very wounded, is that incredible potential to manifest, you know, to create the life that you want if you stop being directed and influenced by the past, by past experiences, by past impressions, and you can have that discipline to focus on what you really want and take action, do whatever it takes to get where you really want to get. It's, you know, that balancing of feminine and masculine that we're all looking forward to, you know, as things shift and certainly speeding up. But we still see a lot of that militarized, you know. I call the people, the souls in charge, you know, those who have power, who have been in power for thousands of years, I call them martial souls because they're very war-oriented and they tend to separate, manipulate, control things, you know, through logic, through the idea of, you know, property, structure, all those things that we see so much in the world, that just separate, that separate us, and they make us feel like, you know, I'm all alone, I have to take care of myself, you know, and the feminine is, of course, the opposite. It's creating community, it's creating connection, it's creating love, it's creating tolerance, all the things that we, you know, well, that we need to restore to save this planet and you know, heal ourselves.
It's really simple, basically, and we make it so complex.
Yeah, we are complex.
And
definitely.
And I see the world, you know, as it is now, and the tension, and it's as a global village now. We get, you know, it's like the whole world. We're dealing with the issues globally, like they're in our living rooms, and of course they're between our ears. You know, we've got this, we've each got this, you know, left brain, letter of the law, compartmentalized thinking, and we've got a right brain, nonlinear, you know, spirit of the law. We're each trying to balance our male and female sides, and the Western civilization is more left brain dominant. Eastern civilization is more right brain dominant. You know, there's more more nonlinear. You've had a really good background experience, East and West. From your book is really provides a lot of insight from that kind of a balanced perspective, and you're really a good person to be talking about balance, all the things you've gone through to bring you to this point of balance. And what I see with that balance is there's real soulfulness in your book. The understanding of the soul as that nonlinear spiritual point of reference that the ego that we all are brought up in, you know, sooner or later, you know, basically will embrace or deal with, and ideally sooner than later, and bringing soulfulness into one's life, you know, it's like conscious evolution really is a function of that embracing, you know, the soul gifts and talents and the understanding of the soul and soul evolution and soul balance and this masculine feminine dance that we have with others and with ourselves. It's fascinating, your book and your intuition on deep intuitions on, you know, ancient and modern testings and dealing with the records from even back to the civilization of Atlantis in reference to Lemuria and understanding of the disconnect from the divine feminine that sunk into the third dimension during the civilization of Atlantis. And how did you discover that, and why is that significant today?
Well, I must say that after many years of befriending my subconscious, I had a grieving process brought up by a painful divorce and many changes in my life. And so through that grieving process, I started remembering things. And I had had visions of that before, you know, when I was younger. But it didn't make sense. It was just like something that I wrote on my journals, but I just kept it there. And so when this was happening, many years later, it really opened a new gate of perception for me, and I started remembering things, remembering life in Atlantis, remembering what happened, remembering who was there and what was going on. And so I realized that fall of Atlantis did not just mean that, you know, civilization was over. It also meant that we sunk into third dimension and that our perception was completely transformed. It was changed because it was like, you know, imagine moving from third dimension to second or something like that, like your perception gets flattened. And so the highly aware beings that we were back then turn into these, you know, kind of confused and disconnected beings trying to rebuild the world. And of course, when we sank, we also disconnected from other planets and, you know, the Galactic Federation. And, you know, it was a huge thing. It was a huge and very traumatic event. And so sinking into third dimension meant being more attached and more identified with the physical senses and less with our connection to consciousness. Because when the feminine got disconnected as well, you know, I call the lunar energies got disconnected, then all of that power, all that creative power, that love, that consciousness, that those the spiritual layers of the soul sunk into the subconscious. So the feminine became the subconscious. What we call the subconscious mind, that's our feminine. And that's why now we have to look within and dig, you know, delve deep and go in search for that because we got disconnected. But it's coming back up to the surface. That's exactly what we're feeling right now, these waves of awareness and how people are becoming more conscious and more aware and of the planet, of themselves, of their relationships, of their connections. You know, it's because the feminine is coming back. We're turning, we've reached the extreme of masculinity, so now we're turning around and we're moving towards a feminine cosmic cycle. After being in a masculine cosmic cycle for, you know, for more than 10,000 years. And so now we're turning around at the same time. The age of Aquarius is being established, you know, which started 200 years ago. And because the feminine is being restored and all that, we're also moving back to fifth dimension. So there's a lot happening right now. We're actually very, very lucky to be experiencing this time. But at the same time, of course, it's challenging and we need to play our part. We need to transform those old paradigms, that old perception of the third dimension and that strong identification with the physical senses, which is what we call ego. We need to transform all that to really move and turn things around and head towards a beautiful cycle of life, a beautiful feminine cycle of life.
Well,
so it is very significant because we are at a turning point, exactly like you said. You know, but it's a very multi-layered and cosmically important turning point. So
no,
I
believe
to
that.
Do our part.
Yeah, I believe that. You know, here we are at the cusp of the Aquarian dispensation, and the internet has connected global humanity and, you know, in like a global village, and there's this global mind that's, you know, social conscience that's becoming conscious of how we are conscious as a whole, you know, and there's this, you mentioned this giant shift going back, again, back to time of Atlantis. We're talking about, you know, half of the precession of the equinox. And there's this giant cycle that goes masculine, feminine, and that was a giant feminine cycle that went masculine in the last 14,000 years or so, or 11,000 years. Now we're right at the cusp of the shift, and there's this huge shift with this new sense of connection of a unity conscience, you might say, a higher conscience of ourselves as a whole, and of course. That sense of the higher self, or the real self, or the divine self as the divine feminine, and I've always thought of the soul as the feminine potential of God. And the, when I say that, the feminine potential, it's like, you know, the dense physical, it's, you know, it's the masculine momentums have ruled, you know, for the last 11,000 years or so. And now, you know, it's got to the point where humanity has succeeded to the point of gross defects. I mean, you know, we're killing ourselves, or some of us have, or are, you know, trying to own and control the human and physical resources of the earth. And it's got to the point where the domination and control agenda is out of step with the cooperation and community, the sense of unity on a global, local level that's going mainstream. And it's going mainstream very fast, and it's like, you know, we've hit the wall of the same old, same old. And I think there's a lot of people waking up to this sense of feeling like strangers in a strange land.
Yes.
And that there really is a major shift going on. And you talk about this, you know, how we're at a juncture of shifts in cosmic cycles. And could you go into that a little bit more?
Sure. You know, the disconnection from the feminine that I call the great disconnect, because it basically we kind of left very essential aspects of our soul separate, like they were severed, they were disconnected, you know, split. And so that created very strong impressions. It was a big catastrophe. And not only that, it was also an event that left deep imprints of guilt and shame and powerlessness. Why? Because it was not something that just happened. It was a choice. You know, what at the time it seemed like a good choice, because it was, let's take charge of this planet, we'll take care of it. And it was basically manipulation of those souls that are still in control, you know, that I call martial souls. And it was like, let's take charge. Let's do things on our own. And that's what we ended up doing, doing things on our own, which turned into a big mess. Because we disconnected, then we had to sort of start from scratch and build what we now know, you know, is our history. Everything that came before then, you know, our prehistory, is forgotten, or is you consider like, you know, mythology and so on, and it's discredited, you know, because we don't have proof, because it's not scientific and so on. And so we kind of don't pay attention to those things, and we remain stuck. We remain stuck in what I call a prison planet for, you know, over 10,000 years.
It's like
prisoners.
It's like collective amnesia.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also collective, you know, guilt and shame and fear. And that's, those have become the emotional currencies in the world. Every message that you see out there in the media is either to make you feel afraid of something or to feel ashamed of something. And so even our personal interactions have been permeated by that.
Yeah.
And instead of being, you know, relationships of creative cooperation, they've become, you need to become a copy of myself, and you need to do what I want you to do, what I expect you to do, and so on. And so we create these codependent relationships that lack that love, respect, and creative power to really, you know, do something good, as opposed to just trying to heal our wounds, you know, with each other, which is what most relationships seem to be nowadays. And so because we disconnected from those aspects that are self-healing, that are, you know, our self-love, our sense of self, our sense of direction, of perception, the spiritual senses that guide us. So, because we're disconnected from there, from all of that, we have tend to, we've relied solely on the physical senses and the logical mind, which is the masculine aspect of the mind. And like you mentioned earlier, men are not supposed to feel, you know, because feelings, you know, the emotional aspect of the mind is the feminine. So now we've come to this turning point where we're realizing, hold on a minute, I need to feel because that's my emotional compass. You know, the intelligence of my heart is much wiser than this logical mind that is just, you know, repeating the same thing and keeping things the same. If we want to find happiness, we need to be self-integrated. Soul integrated. We can't just rely on the physical. We can't just rely on the external and the mental. We need to put all the pieces of the, you know, who we are, our puzzle together so we can feel more whole, more happy, more connected to ourselves, to each other, to the planet, to everything. And that's what's happening now as we are turning around. That's why people are awakening. Like, I want more for my life. I've been in this corporate, you know, I have many clients who come to me because they're in the corporate world and they want to, you know, leave that, start anew, find what their true purpose is. You know, the life as that we've experienced for the past, I don't know, 200 years or so is not fulfilling. We're not happy. We're looking for something that's more permanent, deeper, that connects us to who we truly are. And that's what these shifts are all about. And the Aquarius aspect is, of course, of creating community, connection. You know, that's why we've become a global community very quickly. The past, you know, I don't know, 20 years or so, it's like, boom, all of a sudden I can talk to someone on the other side of the world. It's that sense of connection that Aquarius brings and the feminine cycle bring. They kind of come in together. Just like when we sunk into third dimension, it was a masculine cosmic cycle coming in and a dark cycle. And there was no stopping it. You know, that's one of the things that I address in the book. You have to stop feeling guilty and ashamed and regretting things from the past, because that's not going to lead you anywhere but where you are, which is stuck in the past. And so we need to heal ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to see ourselves not as an ego personality in a physical body, but as infinite souls with incredible creative power to transform anything we set our minds to.
Well, it's very difficult for the human ego to wrap its mind around the understanding of the soul. And at the same time, reading your book, I mean, I've always been fascinated with this subject. You know, the exquisite metaphors that you provide with this, the indigo archetypes and the understanding of this spectrum of consciousness. The exquisite metaphors that you have in the book regarding the what I call the science of the soul, or the understanding of the soul, kind of an intuitive, you know, way to wrap your, you know, spherical consciousness around, you know, this nonlinear dimension of you know, eternal evolution of the soul. You know, I mean, the idea that we've been around from the time of Atlantis before thousands of embodiments, and we're becoming aware of how we're aware, to become conscious of how we're conscious. That's something they never taught us in school. and your book is really, I mean, it's a gift and a blessing in that regard, and it's the kind of thing that I'll be picking up on a regular basis. Just, you know, I love to just, you know, go through different, you know, and, you know, the serendipity, synchronicity of finding things, just scanning around. It's always been, to me, a joyful way to find truth. And I really want to thank you for coming on the show today. And to me, this has been reading your book and tuning into this. Like I say, I'd like to think of myself at least on the journey of becoming a balanced indigo adult.
Yes.
So I wanted to share with the listeners that your Indigo Journals is available on, what is it, Amazon, Barnes & Noble?
Yeah, it's on Amazon, both in print and as an ebook, and also Barnes & Noble or iTunes as an ebook, and some bookstores that, very select bookstores that carry these types of books. But Amazon is always an easy choice.
And also, you've got a free video course also.
Yeah, if people go to my website, my business site as a spiritual counselor and coach, it's soulguidedcoach.com, and they can sign up for my spiritual newsletter, and they get a free video course.
Oh, you'll definitely see my name on there. That's Soul Guided Coach, one word, soulguidedcoach.com.
That's correct.
Well, Joel, I am so grateful you were on the show today. I thank you for your amazing work, and I understand that you've got services and seminars, different private, you have private spiritual counseling, business coaching, soul healing programs, and group programs you're launching in 2016, Unlock Your Hidden Power for Self-Healing, Discover Your Life Purpose, etc. And again, that's at your website, soulguidedcoach.com.
Yes, you can find all my services, seminars, healing, lectures, events, and so on.
Well,
and I want to thank you, Christopher, for having me over. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
You're welcome, and perhaps we do this again sometime. I'd love to touch base with you on a regular basis, if for counseling, if for nothing else.
Okay, it'll be my pleasure.
Well, thanks, y'all. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Keep the faith, to see the good, and make it so. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.